Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Every Nation online service. My name's Shino. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to continue in our sermon series called Listen. We'll be going through the book of Revelation. Last week, Pastor Nathan kicked us off. Powerful message, setting us up, reading the first chapter of Revelation. And the beauty of this was that, man, he broke it down in such a way where he understood the person of Jesus Christ, the one who is and the one who's to come, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one that knows not just the end, not just the beginning, but he also knows the in between, and how John got this revelation by getting a vision. And seeing who Jesus is and who Jesus was, says that he fell to his feet like a dead man. But Jesus, the Son of God, the way maker, grabs him, picks him up and says, hey, do not be afraid, but be encouraged. So last week we talked about the importance of being encouraged. And he told John he needs to write these letters to these seven churches because some of these churches are going through some difficult things. And the church I'm going to talk about to you today will be in Revelation chapter two. And it's going to be the church of Ephesus. And this church, we know a little bit about it. Paul was the one that that helped start it, if you will, along with Lydia and also along with Aquila and Priscilla. And so before we get going, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity to get in your word. Father, we pray that, yes, just like it says, Revelation, that you would unveil, bring things to light, bring things to attention, and most of all, bring us back to our first love in you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible, you can go to Revelation chapter 2. It says this, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I will know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen and repent and do these things as you did first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from this place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever hears, has ears, let him hear. And what the Spirit says to the churches, to the one who is victorious, I will give right to eat from the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. And so here it is, Jesus speaking and explaining to John about the church of Ephesus. And if you know anything about the city of Ephesus, it was a trade city. It was a large city. It was a city that was diverse. It was a city of lot of cultural diversity, but it was also a city full of pagan worship. And what I mean by that, there was false religion going on. There was this worship of Diane, and it was pretty bad because it was the worship of sex and immorality and prostitution. And then they had what we call emperor worship, where they would worship the emperor and his ways and his lifestyle. And this church was strong. It stood against it. But what the thing that's against them is this, is that they were starting to fall away from their first love. And what I mean by that, they were so strong in doctrine. They were ones that would fight and know the truth. This is the word of truth. And, you know, we have to have that. We have to have that biblical foundation, understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord. The word is the final authority in our lives. And they could were into that. But they were so caught up in that, in the doctrinal word of God, that they had fallen away from the person of God, Jesus Christ. And so what we want to look at today is how can this be? How can this be? It says that, you know, that they were keeping people out, that they were being commended for keeping the Nicolaitans out. And who are they? Who are these people? There's theologians believe that these people were, or this person, or these people that were started from one of the disciples that were raised up to serve in the book of Acts, if you remember. And they were just talking about, we need to raise up some people to serve so that the apostles could go and study the word and be a part of prayer and take care of that versus having to go wait tables. And one of those people's name was Nicholas, and he was raised up. And, you know, for some reason, it says that this man backslid and started a sect. And all of a sudden now these people are going around in the church preaching heresy. But no, not in Ephesus. We're not going to have it. They stood up and said, no, we're not going to do that. But, you know, as you're facing persecution, as you're standing up against the lies and the things that the enemy would try to pull us away from, the resurrection, if you will, things that the enemy would try to pull us away from, the virgin birth, things that are the basic fundamentals of Christianity, people will try to come in and say, man, there is no hell, all these different things. And all of a sudden now you have to rise up and fight against that. But you know what? Sometimes we begin to do this for ourselves instead of doing this for the Lord. And one of the ways that you can fall away, or one of the ways you can get disconnected from God, is we forget sometimes that we're doing this for the Lord. And that's the first point I want to make. We are in this for God. We're not in this for people. We're not doing this for others. We're doing this for the Lord. And so God is looking down on this church and saying, hey, it's becoming more about you than it is about me. And there's a disconnect because you can't go and be and do what you need to do without me. So you need to come back this way. The Bible says this in Colossians 3:23. It says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Another version says this, work willingly at whatever you do as you are working for the Lord rather than people. And you'll receive this inheritance as serving Christ. So one thing we have to be aware of is that we're doing this for the Lord. We're not doing this for people. You know, today we were talking about some things in our staff meeting, and, you know, we're talking about serving. And sometimes serving can get messy because the enemy can play tricks on your mind and make you think that nobody's paying attention or nobody cares. But the overarching theme of the book of Revelation is that God has a plan. And when it looks dark and bleak in the world and in society, know this, God is in control. And so right now this pressure is on the church of Ephesus, because as they look out and they see, man, this worship of Diane, man, I see people worshiping the emperor. I see people going around practicing false doctrine. Man, all of a sudden you can begin to get weary and break and disconnect and say, man, Lord, where are you? And instead of doing it God's way, you start doing it your way. And so God is saying, you know what? Don't fall away from your first love in Christ, your first love. You know, there was a moment I remember in this church that how it was birthed. Lydia, this woman of means from Asia, coming through and getting the word of God on that creek bank and getting her whole group together. And they all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul and Silas in jail, praising God. All of a sudden, those gates open. Man, the prayer jailer comes down and falls to his knees and says, oh, no, I got to be with the Lord. I what is this that's going on? And it says that him and his whole house got saved. So you have the rich and you have the poor coming together in this church. And all they cared about was the Lord. That was the foundation of this church. We love Jesus. There's praise in this church, worship in this church, foundation in this church. Paul spent 2 years in the city of Ephesus loving and caring for the people of this church. And now all of a sudden the church is starting to grow cold because it's fallen away from its first love. See, we can start off fast. We can start off fast and, man, it's all about the Lord. It's all about God. But then when it starts getting hard and difficult, and it's messy sometimes working with people, not only do you disconnect from God, but you can start disconnecting from others. And this was another thing that Jesus was focusing in on. If you are my disciple, they're going to know this, the love you have for me, but also the love you have for one another. Remember, we have to be doing this unto the Lord, because when we get our eyes off of him and it becomes about other things, then all of a sudden we get disconnected and the love will grow cold. Why am I doing this again? What is this about? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember. It's because of what he is and who he is and what he's done is why I go and do what I do. I have to understand I'm doing these things for the Lord. Many of you out there are going around serving in your church, serving in your communities, serving at your job. Remember this, you're doing it unto the Lord. You're not doing it for man. You're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for the pastors. You're not doing it for this. You're doing it for the Lord. And as you remember what he did for you, it makes you go want to go do things for him. Work at it all your heart. The second thing is that you have to guard your heart and you have to guard your mind. And what I mean by that is guarding your mind is because we are in a society that is being bombarded with so much stuff that your mind can drift. And once again, we want to keep our mind on Christ. We want to keep our mind set on things above. We don't want to get caught up on what's going on around us. Yes, we have to be in tune with culture. We got to know what's going on. I'm not saying hunker down, hide, but what I am saying is that we have to have a mindset that is the word. We have to have a mindset that's all about him. And so as I have that mind of Christ, I can go out and do godly things. And so what happens is we begin to disconnect once again because we're not spending time with him. We're spending more time on Instagram, on Twitter. We're spending more time on Snapchat, on TikTok, and all these other social media outlets. And what happens, what goes in will come out. And so we have to be careful. The church of Ephesus is fighting hard to keep these things out. But you know what, man? For some reason, they're starting to creep in and it's causing them to disconnect from their first love in Jesus. The Bible says this in Proverbs 4, 23 and 27. Above all else, guard your heart. Everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the path to your feet and to be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Keep your foot from evil. You know what's important is this, is that those Nicolaitans, man, they could pull you away, get you into some false doctrine. And there's a lot of teachings out there that'll pull you away, lure you away. And that's why you have to guard the mind. Be careful of what you're reading, man. Be men and women of the word, but also be men and women of Jesus. Spend time with him. Meditate on the word. Meditate and spend time with the Lord so that, man, you can go out and do the things that you need to go out and do. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace those minds, those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Not only is it the mind, but it's also the heart that we have to protect as well, because from the heart, the mouth speaks. And so there's a lot of things in society today, just like they were facing in Ephesus, to try to break you and keep you and cut you off from the court of Jesus Christ. Remember, we preached about him being the vine and us being the branch. And if we abide in him and his words abide in us, something supernatural will take place. But we have to abide in him. And so what happens is the heart gets cold. The heart gets comfortable. The heart gets complacent. It doesn't burn the way it used to burn for Jesus. What about those moments in the past when nothing else mattered but about spending time with Jesus and just having the spirit of, yes, Lord, I'll go and be what it is you're calling me to go do and be. But what happens is the heart goes cold and we have to guard the heart. The Bible says this in Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind, which is in Christ Jesus. Something happens when I pray to him, when I spend time with him. All of a sudden, it begins to stir things up. The remembrance. Remember, give thanks. And so there's something about thanking God for all the good that he has done. Thanking God, just like the Ephesians needed to thank God. They forgot to go back and thank the Lord and bring to remembrance those things that he's done, protecting them, keeping them, You got to guard your heart and you got to guard your mind. With the heart, one believes. So many things are out there after the heart right now. And you cut on this and turn on that. It's, we need you to be this. We need you to dress this way, talk this way. If you have this status, then you're somebody. It gets down into the heart. And then instead of saying, man, I need to be like Jesus. I need to do what he says and live how he calls me to live. Man, I can grow cold. And then take it a step further. When things don't go the way I need them to go in life and in society, I get colder and I get bitter. But the Bible says, do not let a root of bitterness spring up, lest you defile many, because you get bitter when things don't go your way, when you disconnect from your first love. You know, one thing that I think about also is just resting. And this is my third point. Rest in his promises. Rest in his promises. John speaking from the island of Patmos because of being put in prison, because he's preaching the word of God. But you know what? He's resting in the promises, knowing that God is a God that can't lie. And when God speaks something, he's going to do it. And so God has revealed himself in such a way that's encouraging, to give him the ability to rest, to know that, man, the end is not over. God is still on the throne. Jesus is still up to some things. And that sparks some things in him, that revelation that you and I both need, that fresh revelation of who God is, that fresh revelation that he's a promise keeper and that we can rest in that. One of the things that causes us to disconnect is when we get anxious and we try to do things our way instead of doing things God's way. We need to step back and remember that time when, man, God spoke to you. Remember that time when God encountered your life. The Bible says in Psalms 107, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Man, remember how he redeemed you. Remember how not only did he redeem you, but he gave you a promise in the midst of it. And you anchored down into that promise. And you said, man, this is for me. This is for my life. This is for my family. This is the call that's for God has put on me, that promise. And you begin to rest in that, and it burned in you, and it caused you to want to stay close to him. And Jesus could say anything, speak something to you. I need you to whisper and go say this to this person. I need you to go over here and do this and go over and do that. Why? Because you were resting in his promises. But so over the years, things can get cold and things can get difficult, and it begins to wear you down, and you begin to forget the promises of God over your life, for your family, over your job, over your community. And next thing you know, you get cold. The relationship in there, it's not like it used to be. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's Jesus. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's just the Bible. Oh, yeah, that's that prayer call. That's that prayer meeting. I'll get to that later. You get cold. But you got to remember, and you got to rest in his promises, and you got to rest in him. The Bible says this in Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. See, there's a lot of weariness. And that's the enemy's scheme, is to wear you down to the point where you don't even want to pray. You don't want to read. You don't even want to spend time with the Lord. And he wants to disconnect. And God is challenging this church, and he's challenging all churches. Go back to your first love. Go back to your first love when nothing else mattered but Jesus. It didn't matter what hell threw at you. I was going to give him praise. I was going to give him thanksgiving. I was going to go to Bible studies. I was going to go to the church service. I didn't matter. I'm still going because I'm so in love with Jesus. But man, that burden has worn us down. That situation has worn us down, man. But we need to give it to the Lord. It says this, and I will give you rest. A lot of you are weary because you're doing it in your own strength instead of doing it in the strength of God. And the only way you can do that is to go back to your first love. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's go back to our first love, and let's give him those burdens. Let's give him those things that are too heavy to carry. Let's give him those things that are wearing us down. Let's give him those things that cause us to stay up late at night, to worry about this, that, and the other. Let's give him those things so that we can go back and just spend time with him. Church of Ephesus said, look, man, I'm getting ready to Turn the lights off. Because it's all about the works instead of about the person that you're doing the work for. Is this about the people or is this about me? Is it about Jesus today? Do you love him like you used to love him? Do you spend time with him like you used to spend time with him? Do you pray to him like you used to pray for him? It's time to get back to our first love. Turn off what's in society right now and turn up time with Jesus. Push pause. Say, you know what? I don't need Netflix. I don't need this show on Hulu. I don't need all these things. I just want to spend time with Jesus. How about, I'm not worried about what people say or what people think. I just want to spend time with Jesus. I can't make it there tonight. I don't want to go there tonight. I don't want to be in that environment tonight. I just want to spend time with Jesus, your first love. Your first love. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Remember how he redeemed you out of darkness and brought you into his marvelous light. Remember how you were able to interpret what sin and salvation is and coming under his lordship, and that you needed to repent and turn away from sin and put your hope and trust in God. This is where we are today. This may not be a moment to give your life back to Jesus in a sense of giving your life to Jesus, excuse me. But it's this, I'm saying, look, Lord, I'm sorry for putting things ahead of you. I'm sorry for taking that moment and disconnecting from you when I need to be reconnecting. The Bible says this in Acts 3:19. It says, repent and times of refreshing will come. Many of us are weary and worn down because of the long, grueling season of COVID and this pandemic, which we believe we're on the back end of it. Man, we're grueling long because of the social injustice and stuff that's still going on today. So many things are still wearing us down, but you know what? I want to go back to my first love in Jesus. Oh God, I repent for getting caught up in the things of this world instead of getting caught up in you. Fresh. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you. Thank you, God, that you're a God of grace, that you're a God of mercy, and that you're a God of love. And I thank you for this moment to repent, just like the church of Ephesus, repent and come back to your first love in Jesus. I repent, God, for allowing myself to get caught up in the ways of the world instead of getting caught up in the ways of God. Lord, I repent. And Lord, as I turn away from this, I want to turn back to you. And I'm making a public commitment to say I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray and spend time with you. I'm willing to take it even a step further, skipping meals, so that I may be able to humble myself. And oh yes, Lord, I'm gonna also not do it for me, but yes, I'm gonna go serve others for you. And so God, today, Lord, just right now, in my apartment, in my home, in the park, wherever you are today, I just pray this. Repent and come back to your first love in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this moment. This moment of drawing the line in the sand. Coming back to you. I put my heart in your hands, my emotions, my feelings, everything I got back into you. You are my first love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us today. Continue along with us in this sermon series, Listen. And let's do this. Let's go back to our first love. Let's make Jesus the number one priority in our life Let's not get up caught up in the works, but let's get caught up in Jesus. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.